Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they got it right. And this is Tom Novolis, your host. And yes, I am back in from 2016 with my Veterans for Trump hat signed by the man himself when we were there at the rally in Akron, Ohio. So we're just charged up, ready to go, and so should you. We have talked about, I brought to you the whole idea that if you want to return to federalism, remember, the anti-federalists were in fact the true federalists. Samuel Adams, in fact, was the absolute federalist. He clearly understood in being one of the authors of what? What was our first Constitution? And we're going to talk a little bit about our Constitution because this week, on September 17th, we celebrated Constitution Day. Did you know that? Wow. I hope you did. I hope that you were engaging in conversations about the Constitution, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit, and especially we're going to focus into a speech that A.G. Barr gave for Hillsdale College regarding the Constitution and some of the things that he talked about there. We'll talk about voting a little bit, but you know, we're just going to circle right into that portion where I started, and that being federalism. And that Sam Adams, in writing, what was that? Oh, yeah, I left you with that. What's our first Constitution? The Articles of Confederation. Sam Adams, in the intent and the design of that committee for those Articles of Confederation, was that independent states, independent republics. Remember that every state, even under this new, well, it actually came out, the promise was put into another core document that we'll talk about probably a little bit in the second segment. But that promise to every new state is that they would have a republican form of government. And that doesn't mean the Republican Party, which is all about power and stuff like that, as we know here in Ohio, in particular, with this governor that is acting like a total tyrant. He's a despot. But as there are a lot in the Democrat type state, oh, wait a minute, you know, DeWine, Democrat, DeWine, Democrat. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Despot. Let's just call it what it is, a despot. But I know I got to have a little fun here. We got a little, you know, detractions on a few things. But at the same time, Sam Adams was intent on making sure that federalism was predominant, that the independent republics functioning within their state constitutions of representative government, that's a republican form of government, is a representative form of government, that would come together, covenant together under the Articles of Confederation. A confederation, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, is a covenant between different parties. It is that coming together and agreeing on what will and will not happen. Agreeably, some said that there were issues with that confederation, that it needed to have a more energetic centralized government to be able to do all these different things, to the extent that then what we ended up with is that out of the Maryland Conference in 1786, we ended up with a convention, and then the Constitution of 1787, which then Sam Adams looked at that and said, my paraphrase, you're out of your minds with this thing. Do you know how corrupted it's going to get after it's employed, especially without a Bill of Rights? Well, as we know historically, and as you can read, and as I can talk about for hours upon hours, which I don't have with you today, is that then, as this Constitution was then sent to where? Oh, it just didn't go out there and poof, everybody took and, oh yeah, we're going to go for that Constitution, and everybody just went, yay! Not even close. What it did is that the recommendations for the Constitution of 87 then went to none other than Congress, which was established under the Articles of Confederation. Congress, under the Articles of Confederation, looked at that and went, well, we'll send it out to the states to determine. So then it was agreed upon to send to the states, and the states called state conventions. You have to understand that process. They called state conventions. And then the debate, the great debates, the debates over this Constitution versus the Articles of Confederation, the writings then of those that stole the name of Federalist, and then the leftover, which had more prolific writings, as I've described to you over the years, became known as the Anti-Federalist, who in fact are the true Federalist, who want to ensure that states would be the primary and predominant form of governance, and then that coalition, that conference of bodies, would come together and be a United States. So the Articles of Confederation were designed for that. This new Constitution, as the Anti-Federalists argued over and over and over, would lead to the potentials, which we're seeing today, without any question, until 2016. But we're still seeing that remnant in there trying to push for what? What I'm trying to communicate to you is they want a consolidated government. A consolidated government instead of all of these independent republics called states that then would come together in that confederation under a constitutional national government, a covenant, so that certain things could happen on the international basis, and that there would be ubiquity in certain areas. Instead, no. What we have seen for over 100 years is that little bit more from your state, a little bit more here, and the Anti-Federalists going, yeah, see, I told you so. Anyway, what we have in 2016 has up. Ended them. You got it right there. Donald J. Trump. Donald J. Trump. He upended it because in his inaugural speech, remember, I just talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was talking about the return to federalism. And a couple weeks ago, what it was is, in fact, in reality, what is happening is that Donald Trump is returning to that original Anti-Federalist perspective of how this Constitution of 87, then as amended, would be implemented, where the states would be the predominant forms of government and there would be limitations and activities within the national government. So that's pretty much the conversations that I was hoping somebody would be having out there relative to Constitution Day on September 17th. And Sam Adams, as some of you know, had the opportunity to be at an event with the Mayfield Republican group, Mayfield, Ohio. And that was his birthday, September 16th. So that was kind of a fun time to be out there as Sam Adams and enjoying the activities with that group of really great folks. So what did A.G. Barr talk about? Something that's close to me in a different way is that he talked about two things. The first thing that he, area that he talked about that I have in these last 4 minutes here, and I'm just going to highlight these that will carry on into the second and third segments in detail, is that he was speaking about the A.G. Barr rebukes career DOJ prosecutors for political headhunting insubordination. Big deal. And the big deal is career bureaucrats, okay? Career prosecutors in this case. Then the other point that he talked about was coronavirus lockdown's greatest intrusion on civil liberties since slavery. All in the same speech, he talks about those two really key issues, that under a proper implementation of federalism would not be issues. We would never have had this lockdown, nor would we have the career bureaucrats doing what they're doing. And then finally, if we get time, everybody is worried about the election coming forward, as you should be, not because of Donald Trump, hopefully by God's grace will win, but because of this article in the Western Journal that says hundreds of military and overseas ballots downloaded with mistakes on the Trump line. And this is in the Democratic state of Michigan, and with the Democratic state secretary of state freaking out because they were trying to slip one over where instead of, I know, I'll take it in the second or third segment. I'm going to leave that with you. And one of the things that we're going to talk about in relationship to what A.G. Barr spoke to, we're going to go back to one of my many favorite anti-federalists, none other than Brutus. And Brutus was whom? Who was Brutus? Brutus was he wasn't the guy on Popeye. That wasn't Brutus. You've heard me try to clarify that one for you before. That wasn't Brutus. Brutus was none other than Mr. Yates, who was the attorney general there in New York and was a member of the Constitutional Convention. And fact being, here it is, remember, I don't know how many times I talk about this, he pulled the delegation of New York out of the convention because of the shenanigans that he was seeing coming forward into history. And it's what it was. Yates pulled all of the delegates, including Hamilton, out of the convention so that he could then write as Brutus and let the governor know, as well as the people in New York, as well as all the others, that you needed to take a hard look at what was coming out of that convention with the potentials that it had and are being realized today for corruption, consolidation of power across all the states, and, yes, even career bureaucrats. He warned. Sam Adams warned, all the anti-federalists warned, so you were warned. But did you know you were warned? You didn't see the sign. Warning, ISIS then, Come on back in the next segments as we talk about that thin ice that's broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They absolutely got it right. And this is Tom Navulis, your host, and all of you there on Liberty Works Radio Network. I am so honored and pleased to be with you. And for every listener on the podcast, one of the things that I forgot to do in the first segment was to say, hey, you could find all the archives at where? SamuelAdamsReturns.net. Not only that, you'll find the blog component of archive for every program that has all of the references. Folks, as you well know, over all these years that I've been doing this programming, I don't just pull it out of the hat, even though it's a good Donald Trump hat. I don't pull it out of the hat. I go and I dig in the references and I give them to you so that you can take and look them up for yourself. You know, it's always interesting is that, hey, fact checkers out there, the facts are before you. The reality is before you. But as we've seen in the social media realm, they manipulate the truth and discount the real facts. Now, find that donate button there at Liberty Works Radio Network, folks. You know, take a look. This programming is all about you and your liberty. And once again, too, I'll just kind of squeeze it in right along the side of that one is that, at SamuelAdamsReturns.net, there's a couple books there you can buy, and we're trying to figure out how else we can take and look at ways of helping continue the programming. And one, which I remember I did not put up last week, is that if you're in Ohio, if you would take a look at pepper-licious.com, pepper-licious.com, get some of our jams and peppers. We've got over 4,000, 5,000 plus peppers taking and ripening on the vine for you. So if you want those fresh specialty peppers, check it out. Other than that, dive into those delicious culinary jams. So with that, we're just going to press into what I think is the establishment, not only of Sam Adams, but all of those that came after the founding periods of the colonies and helped develop the young minds, inculcate, as they say, inculcate, that means hammered in to the minds of the young people that would become a number of the different leaders. Now, where I want to take you at this moment is back to 1730. A little music to travel back in time. I don't have that background music. But anyway, there was a sermon that was preached in front of the governor in Boston. It was preached at the lecture in Boston before Jonathan Belcher. Now, I really like the whole thing that's all listed within the Belcher Society. I think they've done a fabulous job of putting historical record together for our benefit. And this was August 13th, 1730, by the Reverend Benjamin Coleman. It is titled, Government, the Pillar of the Earth. And he used as his key verse, if you will, Isaiah 33:6, where wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of thy salvation. So where do we have folks out there that are really functioning and operating on wisdom, number one, instead of political insanities, and true knowledge that gives that wisdom, which is foundational, instead of this critical race theory nonsense and all these other things that some pile high and deep did from a Marxist socialist, let's just call it a Marxist, mentality and ideology. Instead, when we started looking at original ideas of governance, it was interesting to understand that it was a formation from God under governance. So what we have here, and I'm going to leave it to you to read, but I want you to understand that government, the pillar of the earth, and then he uses this verse here from 1 Samuel 2:8, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Amazing how it goes through and talks about the pillars of the earth, and what are they? What does that mean for government? That the things that are spoken of are great and mighty, the pillars of the earth. The earth is a vast fabric in the proportion to its mighty bulk must be a pillar. The metaphor is plainly taken from architecture and is a stately, spacious, magnificent structure. We often see rows of pillars to sustain a roof and lofty towers. In this, it goes through what is always, I talk about that establishment that God understands governance. He understands government. He is the head, and Christ is the ultimate head of not just the church, but of all government. So that's something you need to take a hard look at. I recommend this to you highly. Once again, one of these days, this will be one of the key elements that I talk about and actually will take and bring into reading the sermon aloud for you all on a different day, step, and phase. But the doctrine that the great God has made the government and rulers of the earth its pillars and has set the world upon them. So number one, the governments and rulers of earth are its pillars. Number two, these pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And number three, he has set the world upon them. That's the basics. But Marxism and everything that's going on with Pelosi, Schumer, AOC, all the Democrats, the Harrises, the Pharisees. Ah, Pharisees. Ooh, Harris the Pharisee. There you go. And all of that, very interesting sermon in relationship to it. Okie smoky. Let's kind of jump over here to this one. A.G. Barr rebukes career DOJ prosecutors for political headhunting insubordination. So just the highlights of this article, what do I have, 8 minutes? 7 minutes. The highlights of this article in particular are that in A.G. Barr was taking and describing that many career prosecutors inside the Justice Department, whom he said were too interested in political, quote, headhunting and unwilling to accept policy decisions from their chain of command. Well, in the military, if you didn't follow your chain of command, you know what? You not just got rebuked, you may end up going to captain's mast. You may end up losing a stripe. You may end up losing your pay. You may end up being on restriction for some period of time. And if it's bad enough, you may end up going to the brig. Okay? Navy term, brig. All right. So, with that, so he's got members, and here's a quote. He said, letting the most junior members set the agenda might be a good philosophy for a Montessori preschool, but it is in no way to run a federal agency. And that's across all agencies. That is not just what is going on in the Department of Justice. But in all of these other bureaucratic agencies, these younger bureaucrats in particular, and then I call them none other than the 60s old timers, you know, like me, they're the ones in there that are twisting this policy and taking and making and politicizing it to the extent then that when you have the duly elected president that is setting policy and saying what that policy generalized to be to those department heads of the various agencies, and you end up with insubordination. You know what? I'll tell you what. A lot of the people there, yeah, I'm going to tell you what, because you don't know what, but I'm going to tell you what. And that what is, I'd never make it in federal government because I'd want to go in there and kick these young butts and say, you're fired, you're out of here, or whatever you can do to take and hold them accountable. And I think that's what we're seeing is that AG Barr, just in DOJ alone, and you have to remember, in all of the departments that Trump has, that's what's going on. You have insubordination out the kazoo, and a lot of them are protected by the Federal Workers Union. The Federal Workers Union, they can't be fired. Really? And these prosecutors, career prosecutors, and I love it. You know, that might be good for the, you know, good setting of philosophy for a Montessori school, preschool, especially. He said preschool. He didn't even just say a Montessori school. He said a preschool. But you can't run a federal agency that way. So Barr is refusing to allow insubordinate prosecutors to dictate policy, rejecting the notion that such leadership constitutes political interference. So that's why they want to get rid of A.G. Barr. That's why you hear that from the Democrats about he's evil, he's bad, he's trying to destroy the DOJ. No, he is not. And I got my hands on my hips. No, he is not, folks. What A.G. Barr is doing is he's trying to take and spank the little pukes. I mean, punks. I mean, little prosecutors. And get them back in line and saying, look, I'm the big dog here. I run this outfit. I'm the CEO. I'm the one that is in charge. And baby, you better get lined back up. And you line up under the policy of the leadership. You know, when that leadership changes, oh, guess what? Yeah, you may have communists that come back into the White House. And then you'll have all your communist little things. And then, yeah, you're going to go headhunting again. So it's real interesting in what he has to say. And where he actually puts in the article is the adversarial arrangements that these young prosecutors, and what I end up saying is they become from prosecutors, they become persecutors. And they're not following policy. Now, we've seen even some of that has happened at the then assistant attorney generals that are out in the various districts, like in the District of New York, Southern District of New York, and some of the other left-wing states where you have these assistant attorneys generals out there that Barr were appointed in the Obama administration, and Barr hasn't had a chance to clean them up just yet. And so that's why we need, what, 4 more years of Donald Trump, so that we have what? We have a return to federalism, number one, and number two, we get these bureaucracies cleaned up. I'm going to talk about in the third segment a little bit more what he spoke of. I'll give you the reference because I don't know that we're going to get to Brutus's reference. I've done that in other programs, but the fact of the matter is that the corruption and the politicizing of a department was something that the anti-federalists predicted. And they predicted it in such a way that it would become criminalized, it would become politicized. And that's what Barr is talking about much in this speech that he gave that was hosted by Hillsdale College. Now, we're going to come back in the next segment. We'll finish up a little bit about this portion of speech. We'll get into the next portion of it, and maybe I'll be able to get to Brutus. I don't know. But the other side of it is I need to jump on, which is important in this, is that voting that I mentioned and the bloop, bloop, uh-oh, in Michigan around those ballots. and especially in the line item for President Trump. So come on back when Sam Adams returns. Yeah, the Anti-Federalists got it right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those Anti-Federalists, they got it right. Hey, all you folks down there in where is that? Yeah, Lima, Ohio. Welcome back, you screaming eagles on Soaring Eagle Radio. Hey, glad you're back. You need to go and listen to the second segment. I'm telling you, what we talked about in there, I'm just going to give you a highlight finish hint on, and we're going to jump on it. And remember, where you can find that is at the archives at samueladamsreturns.net. You can get the podcast there, or you can see my smiling face and my personally signed hat by President, well, at that time he was candidate, Donald Trump, but it is signed by now President Trump. And yes, I did. I was able to interact, speak with him for a short period of time. And you know what he did? He came back because he did initially walk past Kath and I. We're right up front there in a VIP section at the Akron rally. And he was being kind of escorted along by his security force. But he looked and came back. And he said to me directly, "I'm taking care of the veterans." And he signed my hat and went on. And it was a nice exchange with him. But yeah, so if you want to see my signed hat, I got my head down so you can see his signature on my hat. Go to SamuelAdamsReturns.net and watch the program. Other than that, you can get the podcast there at the very beginning of it. And most importantly, are all of the references for the program and what we're talking about. So let's finish up from the last segment just real quick. A.G. Barr, when he was talking about this, he raised concern about the politics inside the DOJ, saying too many prosecutors were angling to score political points or career advancements by pursuing high-profile figures without, get this, without regard to the evidence and the law. He goes, "I'd like to be able to say that we don't see headhunting in the Department of Justice. That would not be truthful. I see it every day." Whoa. So that's with all the different bureaucracies. But this is an amazing speech that he gave, and it's in your references. So what he also looked at, he decried a larger phenomena in American politics of what he said was the criminalization of policy and political differences. Now, you have to call your adversary a criminal, and instead of beating them politically, you try to put them in jail. So that's very, very interesting. And he looks at it at both sides, both parties. I'll tell you what, A.G. Barr was absolutely the right choice by President Trump. And I pray that he will be there for the next 4 years, because there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. And let me remind you, I despise career bureaucrats. Career politicians, there should be no thing. That means at the state level as much as at the federal level. At the state level, it's even worse. I think there should be like a 15 and out or a 20 and out. Something like that. But when you have bureaucrats that are in there beyond 15, 20 years, they have taken and manipulated that bureaucracy so much that it is indistinguishable from any reality, and it becomes so personal to them, and their ownership in it no longer allows for it to function for the benefit of the people. All right, we're jumping on because we got 10 minutes. So let's get over to what we need to. And this is the third segment already? Wow. All right. So what I was talking about here in the opening segment, folks, is that in the Western Journal, hundreds of military and overseas ballots downloaded with a mistake on Trump line. And this was in none other than Michigan. And what was happening there is that it could lead to fraud, and mostly in the absentee ballots that impact the ballot line of President Donald Trump. More than 400 military and overseas ballots were affected, according to the Detroit News. And what happened was that the state database from which the county clerks download ballots that later are sent to the voters did not include the name of Vice President Mike Pence on the Republican ballot line for the presidential ticket. Now, you remember that when you vote for the president, you vote for the vice president as a single unit, and Mike Pence wasn't on there. Instead, get this, instead, the state office listed Jeremy Cohen, the Libertarian Party nominee for vice president, where Pence's name should have been. That would have invalidated that vote because, you know, let's think about that. Jeremy Cohen is not the vice presidential pick for President Trump. So they split that thing there, and the error was caught. And within 90 minutes, it was said to have taken actually two frames to fix it. And the Democrat in charge of all of this, that being none other than the Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, a vocal proponent of mass mailing and rejects the claim that it can lead to fraud, said that it was a programmer error. Come on, give me a break. Anyway, I think that it's a very interesting article. The point at the end of the day being, as some folks I know that say that, at the end of the day, the end of the day, that it took 90 minutes or so, 2 hours to fix it. But if it wasn't caught and someone did not address it, that would be a minimum of 400 plus absentee ballots that would have the wrong ticket on it and had the potentials of invalidating that vote. All right. So with that, you can kind of chew on that one for a little bit and go read that. It's in the archives down there. And take a look. Now, let's go over to the other one that in the same speech, I believe it was in that speech the other day, yes, that Hillsdale College was talking about and commemorating, what was it we're commemorating this past week? The Constitution. Constitution Day was September 17th. Attorney General Barr made this statement that the coronavirus lockdowns are the greatest intrusion on civil liberties since slavery. That is heavy, folks. And in a number of states, it is still occurring. Now, we saw this past week that what? And maybe I think it was the prior week, at the end of the prior week, but this past week, it really came out about that a federal judge said that all of the nonsense in Pennsylvania around the Chi-Com flu was unconstitutional and what the governor there is doing. Now, a group of folks that I know and are participating with filed a federal lawsuit against Governor DeWine here in Ohio for much of the same issues that are there in Pennsylvania. Now, I'm hoping that the attorneys for the plaintiffs, being us the citizens, will take and use the judgment in Pennsylvania, knowing that it's ultimately it's being challenged. But anyway, that they would take and utilize that judgment to be able to enhance the case that we have against none other than Governor DeWine. And I'm being respectful because my dad said to be respectful. So I'm being respectful on that because you know what I really call him. And I have to confess, I am sorry that I ever insulted pigs. Now, Barr goes on to talk about this in that conversation relative to the lockdowns where, you know, if you did something reasonable, he says, and temporary restrictions, that's something different for the sake of public health. But we've had overbearing infringements, okay? He used the word infringements. And you have to understand that's something that Brutus talks about relative to how the judiciary in particular, and then also what would happen in departments, could impede and impose the liberties of we the people from a federal level. But this is at the state level. So A.G. Barr talks about this and what happened with the federal judge and what he ruled in Pennsylvania on the lockdowns and that the state actions that were taken, undertaken with the good intentions of addressing public health and emergency. But the judge came out and said, even in an emergency, the authority of the government is not unfettered. The liberties protected by the Constitution are not fair weather freedoms in place when times are good, but able to be cast aside in times of trouble. Now, something that a lot of folks don't know because they don't listen to Governor DeWine when he speaks at his little updated news conference and nonsense is that Governor DeWine actually said that you got to mask up, you have to take and you have to social distance, businesses have to comply with all of his insanities so that you can earn and buy back your rights. Time out, puppies. Get this. What he just said here, the judge just said, is that your liberties are protected by the Constitution and are not fair weather freedoms, okay? And Governor DeWine just said, wait a minute, you have to earn or buy back your rights by taking and masking up, by taking and social distancing, and by taking and having your businesses shut down. All right. I can go on about that, but that is not everything that A.G. Barr was talking about. You got to go to the references. You got to go read these articles that I'm putting up for you on this. And more so, you need to go listen to A.G. Barr's speech and read it for yourself if you don't have time. I prefer to read sometimes, but listening is really good. Watching it on YouTube is better because you see all the facial inflection that goes on it. But by taking and shutting down our churches in particular was an absolute violation of the First Amendment. Closing the churches the way that they did, or taking and muzzling churches and the parishioners or the congregants of those churches to stop them from singing and making it impossible for them to worship according to their consciences is a definite violation of the First Amendment. So everybody has a right to take at your church. If you're muzzled up, you can take and actually maybe go see about getting onto a federal lawsuit like the one that we have going on here in the state of Ohio. But again, that's according to your conscience. But you, violation of worshiping, but you can go out and riot and all of that other stuff. But hey, we're down to the last 40 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, it is you to stand up for liberty and against tyranny. I've brought that out in the other programs, and Christians in particular, you have the duty under God as well as a citizen under the pillars of government to stand up for liberty. Sam Adams, the Puritan, stood up for liberty and was the father of the American Revolution. Come on back next week, because the Anti-Federalists, they did. They got it right.